Hello and welcome everybody to another Sport and Lifestyle Biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. Unbelievably, it's the third of four shows this month of February and the year is flying by already. And this week we have a corker for you. We have a Spanish special. We start off with Vicky Losada. Now at Roma, when we interviewed her, she was at Manchester City. That's how quickly things move in football. And of course, a Spanish international. And we have her agent and the agent of Ona Batra of Manchester United and Emma McCady from Reading and hopefully soon to be many more players. It's JP Benedetti, owner of Footplan Sports, all the way from Barcelona. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we just know you're going to love this one. Well, everybody, joining me today is Manchester City and Spain superstar footballer. It's Vicky Losada. Hi, Vicky. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Really, really well. We appreciate you giving time up in your busy schedule to give us the interview today. You're a superstar footballer. You play for your country. You play for Manchester City, one of the biggest clubs in the world. If we could start off, though, just going back to the start, so the listeners and the girls that are listening get to know a little bit more about you. When you were growing up, how did you find your love for football? Was it instant? And were there good opportunities for girls in Spain?
I mean, definitely was instant. Wherever I go when I was younger, I always bring a ball with me. My brother used to play football, so when I was probably 5-6 years old, I already used to go to watch his games. So it's a football family also, so I think it was in my veins. When I was younger, I think we didn't have as many opportunities as the girls have now. I started playing with boys, and I didn't play in a women's football until I was 14 years old, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So a couple of things you pointed out there, Vicky, a couple of great points. You said you had an older brother. Do you think that helped you? We coach a lot of girls and we can tell the younger girls that have got older brothers and sisters that get to play with their older siblings in the garden.
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. I used to play with him. A lot of fights, I have to say. Always the youngest get all the blame. But also for me, something that is not happening now is playing on the street. Right. I used to play in the street with the boys and that's not happening now, no. Sadly. I think that's actually something that really helped me to be the player I was after.
Yeah, and you're right, that is very sad. I mean, that's just typical with life, isn't it, sadly? Yeah, you don't see many groups kicking the ball around in the street anymore.
No, it is sad, actually. When I see some, it actually brings me back to my memories, and it was actually one of the best times of my life.
Yeah, you're right, it's a real shame. It's sad that society is like that, but on the other side, whether that's one of the reasons or whether it's just natural progression for women and girls in the world, the opportunities are much better now, which is obviously great to see. People like yourself, I know, give time up as well to pass on advice and coaching of young girls, which is fantastic. You said that at the age of sort of 13, 14 was when you started to play with girls because the opportunities were not so much. And you joined La Masia, which is Barcelona's youth system. How did that occur and what was the experience like?
I used to play, so I started when I was 7 in boys team and then I moved to a girls team under 14 in Sabadell, which is the little town where I am from.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they always have people watching the girls and one of the managers from Barca came and they said they wanted to sign me. Sadly for my dad because he's a Real Madrid supporter.
Oh, crikey.
I did sign for Barca and it actually was the start of an amazing career at home for me. Barca is my home.
Yeah, and as we'll come on to many times, you've been at the club on and off for such a long time. It clearly is your home, as it were. In 2016, at the age of just 15, you actually made your first team debut, which is unheard of over here. What an achievement, and what was it like making your actual first team debut at such a young age?
I mean, it was actually amazing because now you can see more girls making their debut at that age. Back then, the opportunities I had, they were nothing compared to the, I don't know, good managers, good infrastructures in the clubs nowadays.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just amazing how the manager I had back then, he really believed in me. Because to be honest, sometimes in football, you also have to be lucky or have that person that puts the eye on you and says, I'm going to believe in this girl. And it was just amazing. Actually, I think I was 15 and the youngest after me was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I was playing with women that were 30 years old. So it was a great experience for me to grow quicker than probably I would have done going through all the categories before the first team.
Yeah, that gives you obviously first-hand real-life experience, doesn't it? So it really does push you on at an early age.
It does, because I had to work harder. I couldn't say no to anything. I just had to find myself in a group of really old people, and that was the best learning for me.
Brilliant. Again, just going back to a couple of points you made, and a couple of points I'd like to mention on that. First of all, you said it was amazing. The manager had the belief in you, which is obviously always needed. There's a saying that we have, right place, right time. And obviously you were playing in the right place when the Barca scout come to see you. But all in all, it's still down to you to show that desire, that ability, that hunger for them to put you into the first team at that tender age.
I mean, I always had the talent.
Yeah.
That is something that I think I was born with. But you also have to develop that. And then you have to have also hard work every day. Passion for me is really important. You have to have passion because that is what is gonna show you the way all the time. Because sometimes it's not always nice in football, in sports. There's always hard moments, but you have to keep doing the things you do every day and being disciplined. And I think back then I had really difficult moments. I remember I used to be such a bad defender. I never used to defend because I was very young, so they used to score a lot of goals when I used to lose the ball. But you know, all these things, thanks to the manager also, showed me the path, and I'm so lucky that I had that back then.
Yeah, again, brilliant for you, but obviously you did have that talent, as you said. But a good point you make is hard work and passion. Hard work, because no work at all gets you nowhere. That will be the first thing that brings you down. But passion, because as you said, it's never always going to be easy, and you need to be passionate about it. If they're hard times, you know, get yourself back up again.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And also, I always say, talent without work doesn't get you anywhere. And you can say it now. And I think for me, I was thinking about football every day, every hour, getting back home, watching the men's game, because sadly back then couldn't watch many women's football. And thinking about football, I never had time to meet my friends, really, because I used to train 4 days a week. And then I was traveling on the weekend. And back then also, all the travel was in the bus. So it was really, really hard coming back Monday morning, back to school. So it was a lot of dedication.
Absolutely. And obviously with all your schooling as well, it was a very busy schedule.
Yeah, it was. And you have to be disciplined. And I think sometimes also in football, you're expecting results quick because you're anxious when you're younger. But I think the work that you do every day, in the end, it pays off 100%. I'm a big believer of that.
Yeah, and you are 100% correct. So obviously, you, as we said, you started off at a very young age in Barcelona. In 2007 was one of your moves away, but that was not triggered because of anything you did. It was because Barcelona actually got relegated and you wanted to stay in the top level. You had an amazing season for Espanyol. You played 24 matches. You scored 3 goals. Do you think that was important to your continuation of the high-level football you were playing, the fact that you actually stayed in the top tier?
It was, as much as I never wanted to go to Espanyol, because it's actually the biggest rival of Barca.
Okay.
But I knew, for me, as you know, I was very, very young, and it took me a lot of time to adapt to that level and to kind of have the rhythm of my life. And for me, just going back to a second division, I thought I had to make that effort and just push myself and keep challenging myself and stay in the highest level.
Yeah, again, another good point of your focus and your dedication.
Yeah, maybe be successful, I guess.
Yeah. I couldn't have put it better. Absolutely correct. However, your concern about moving to the biggest rival of Barca was actually only for 1 year, because Barcelona, got promoted back up to the Primera Division, and of course you moved back to them. And that started a time of 7 years at the club. You played 165 times for them and unbelievably scored 47 goals. You know, that's nearly one in three games. That's absolutely fabulous. I mean, that must make you very proud and something you can look back on with very good times.
Oh, yeah, really good times. And I always, like, one of my targets also was to be that kind of box-to-box midfielder, but also have an effect in the opponent box.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really easy to play also with girls in Barca because we've been learning from the same style of football for years. And in the end, after 5, 6, 7 years, all that work, it just shows up. And I always say, it's a Spanish expression, maybe in English, I always say, we were able to close our eyes and knowing where my teammate was, yeah, where the ball was going to go, where the pass was going to go, yeah, and that is really nice. You just have to enjoy after that.
It does make the game easy, or easier.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, way easier.
You were talking about being a box-to-box midfielder. Just a couple of quick questions that I can throw at you, Vicky, because for me, the answer isn't always the same. What would you say your best position was on the pitch, and what would you say your favourite one was?
Tricky one, actually, because now that I'm older, I always loved the number 10.
Yeah.
100%. I always like to play between, you know, the opponent back line and their midfielder, yeah, line, just in that pocket. I, yeah, love to be in that pocket, just, and on the left side, because I really like to just get my shots on target.
Yeah.
So if you play on the left side, my first touch always was inside and I always had the goal in my mind. But with the years, in Barca, especially these last years, I really enjoy that position, number 6. That's how we call it in Barca, which is the midfielder that's in front of the two center backs.
Yes.
And I think it's really important because you just kind of give the balance to the team. And I think now being older and more experienced, you make better decisions. And I think I really enjoy that position over there.
Yeah, and you're right. Reading the game in that position is very, very important, isn't it? Obviously, you've got to be able to play both ways. It's a very tricky position, actually.
It is, and when you play for Barca especially, you just have to make sure not just making good decisions, not losing the ball once, because, yeah, normally we are attacking so high and the counterattacks are really, really dangerous. But as I say again, it was really easy to play with amazing players beside me.
Brilliant, absolutely fantastic. So part of that 7 year stint in 2011, which from looking at it probably started the avalanche of trophies, was the Copa de la Reina, and that was Barcelona's first trophy. You started the game, you won the final. What was it like to win that trophy for such an iconic club?
I think for us that was a before and after, I guess, because the first year I played when I was 15,
yeah,
as you said, we got relegated. So we weren't the best team, which a lot of people would say, what? So yeah, we were the last on the table. And I think after that trophy, that Copa de la Reina, we knew where we wanted to get. And after that, it's just been a lot of trophies and also just the mentality of, yeah, every year being a better team. I think also the club has done really good signing new players, that maybe foreign players from another countries that also were giving us another options. And when you want to play in Europe, you just need a bit of everything.
Absolutely. So do you think the winning 2011 was a combination of things that led to this avalanche of trophies? You went on to win Premier, mm-hmm, Division 3 or 4 times, 2 more Copa de la Reinas, all in a short space of time. Do you think it was that, with a combination of that added belief and, as you said, signing new players? Was it a combination of everything?
I mean, the new players came later. We were all Spanish players, and I think it was a result of a lot of work, passion, yeah, and also really talented players. I have really good memories from them years, like showing really good football. And then the only thing that happened is that we were never able to get through quarterfinals in Champions League, but we still always get, yeah, into Champions League every single year. So,
yeah,
it was always a progress.
Brilliant. So almost the evolution of the team, really, and you just all, mm-hmm, grew together, and it resulted in 3 league titles and 3 cups.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then after that is when we signed the new players, because, yeah, there was a target in the club that we wanted to do better in Champions League.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. So before we go on to that, in 2014, you actually had a taste of football in America, which obviously for a long time had been considered the number one, the whole thing for football, mm-hmm, in the world. You signed for Western New York Flash in the NWSL. First of,
yeah,
all, what experience was that? And How did that come about, that move?
In 2014, I already won 5 leagues. And I was 23, and I was already the captain of Barca. And I just felt like the club, believe it or not, it was getting small for me. And I just started feeling a bit comfortable, and I wanted bigger challenges.
Yeah.
And the Spanish league wasn't professional. The offer came from USA, and I could say it was a dream, but it wasn't, because sadly for me, I didn't have any role model to look at and say, I want to be a professional player. So I guess I was brave and I took my chance and I went for everything. And I crossed all the ocean to the other side and far from my family to kind of make my career professional.
Yeah. And was that hard to live away from your family?
It was. It was very hard. It was very hard because I think the 23-year-old that I was, it's not the same that a 23-year-old nowadays.
Oh, no.
You didn't have internet, you didn't have anywhere to communicate, really. So it was really hard. I didn't speak a word of English, like nothing.
Wow. Yeah, that's very brave then. And taking that into consideration, did you enjoy your time there?
I did enjoy my time there. I think it made me stronger physically and mentally. And then I realized that there was an opportunity and a possibility to be a professional footballer. And I wanted to develop over there, to come back home and say to the girls, listen, you can be a footballer if you want, if you work hard. And back then I would say, maybe you have to leave your country, but now you don't have to, because I'm very happy that women's football is developing the way that it is.
Brilliant, absolutely fabulous. And obviously that did give you another taste of football, but still not satisfied, still wanting a different challenge. You signed for Arsenal in 2015. What was it about the WSL or English football that excited you, and was the challenge that you wanted to take up?
I mean, I enjoy America, but I think the football in Europe is different. And the big Premier League, I mean, everybody knows the Premier League is the best league in the world. And I used to watch games also when I was younger. And just coming here, it was a dream, coming back from Western New York Flash, where I was so happy and I'm so thankful because they gave me the first opportunity to be a professional footballer. But coming back here and a big club like Arsenal with all the history behind, it was actually a dream. And I actually enjoy it. We won 2 trophies. And
you did.
I have really good memories also from that time in England.
No, that's lovely to hear. As you said, you won 2 trophies in one season, which is fantastic. And the whole WSL and the experience, did it live up to what you were expecting?
I mean, yeah, it was. The Spanish league wasn't professional, so the club was amazing. The training ground was amazing. I came here to 24-hour routine, having breakfast in the training ground with the first team, meeting the guys, having lunch, having training, gym sessions. They're normal things now, but it wasn't back then.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Love and laugh. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, everyone, I'm delighted to say to you today, I'm joined by a football agent for women's football. It's JP Benedetti, all the way from Barcelona in Spain. Hi, JP, how are you?
Hi, John, doing good, and you?
Brilliant. Thank you for taking your time out of your day to join us. It's a very interesting thing for the listeners and for me, considering I have a lot to do with girls' football and women's football. I was wondering if we can come on to you telling us about what you do now. But first of all, so the listeners get to know you a little bit, can you tell us a bit about growing up, what it was like for you and how you got into football?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Argentina. I left the country really young because it was a bad situation in the country. So I had to, me and my family and I had to leave the country. Obviously looking for opportunities, and since I was a decent player in football at that age, we left to North America. He was playing in Argentina and then moved to USA and played there. There was many opportunities because once you're a good athlete in North America, you get lots of opportunities to play in different clubs and being called up for scholarships and so on. I was there for a time until my family and I moved again to a different place, which was Toronto in Canada, and continued playing there for like 4 or 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. Got the opportunity to play with the national team when I was there for 6 years or so, and then moved all over again to another place and moved to Barcelona, to Spain, and continue playing here. Once I stopped playing football professionally, semi-pro, we'll say, I got into more of the marketing side of companies and so on. I worked with big companies and knowing and learning about marketing. And then I moved really soon to football because I was already, when I was involved in football, I was having connections with agencies, big agencies. And so I started growing my network connections and knowing more about the other side of the business, not as a footballer, but also as the agent. And that's when it all started with the agency side.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. Absolutely brilliant. Just a couple of things I could take from that, if that's okay. You said you moved due to perhaps country problems into North America, started off at a decent standard. When did you find out that football was your love? Was it something that was immediately attracted to you, or did you play any other sports first?
I mean, I think it was really, you could probably tell, but more Argentinians are somewhat the same because we love football.
Right.
In my case, for example, in my family, my dad was a professional footballer in Argentina.
Okay.
So I can tell probably from his side first. When I was really young, I did football, the basket, the track and field. When I was really young, obviously I liked the most football, but I think doing different sports gave me an opportunity of being different than the rest, because yep. The athleticism that I had was different than the rest. I was faster than anyone else, I was stronger, and all those things probably came from playing different sports besides football.
Yeah,
which was good. But I fell in love at the beginning when I was really young, because the joy of playing football outside of the streets, on the ground with friends when you're really young. That especially happens in countries like Argentina, Brazil, for example. It comes from your blood. You're really young and you just start loving the game.
Yeah. Interesting you should say that. I do agree with you that I think if you play more sport, that probably focus more on different muscles or different training techniques, different qualities, it does help you. I think that's a really good point you made. So obviously that helped you. You chose football, which is obviously the biggest sport in the world, or one of the biggest sports in the world. You said you moved to North America, then you had a family move to Toronto. Was that family decision or was that football based?
No, that was more a family decision, but even when we were in Argentina, we had some family members was living in Toronto. So it was like not much of a change moving from USA to Canada, because we already spoken the language, because we were really young and we started speaking English.
Yeah.
So it wasn't much of a change, and decided to make the decision to be more comfortable than perhaps that we were in North America. But it was family baseball. Obviously, football came along, because once I started changing, it was changing new clubs. Recently, I mean, when I just moved in, months later, I was already being called for the national team, not even being Canadian, which was something strange.
Yeah,
because I was showing a lot of talent when I was really young there, and the attraction of the national teams, like, right away. It was changing from one place to the other, so it was mostly the same.
Well, that was actually going to be one of my next questions, and you linked into that really nicely. The national team, I presume, was at Canada?
Yes, exactly.
And was that because you had family members already living there, or because you were able to gain citizenship, or just because you were that talented at that time and the age you were, it didn't matter so much?
No, I think it was a matter of the talent. I can say right now, for example, that North American football, or USA and Canada, both of the countries have changed much since I was there,
yeah.
To be honest. I think there's a lot of foreigners that, like people from Latin America, that are living there, so they're showing different type of football that they weren't used to. You know, more of a technical football than being there. They're used to strong and physique football. So once you're just different because you have talent with the ball on your feet, they're just like amazed by that. And now, obviously, that situation changed because there's a lot of foreign players. But when I was there, it was more of a talent thing. It wasn't because I had family and they were living there. Since I was a kid and I wasn't playing on the first national team, let's call it the main one, I started playing when I was under 14, under 15, under 16, and all those ages. So it didn't count much when I was playing by the national team because I wasn't required to for me to have the citizenship.
Right, okay.
So I was able to play. Obviously, in some tournaments, I couldn't go internationally. Some of them I went, but most of them I was advised not to go because then I was waiting for the paperwork to change and have the nationality and so on.
Right.
To be able to play those tournaments. They were more official FIFA-regulated tournaments, but the rest I was able to play, so it was a nice experience for me.
Yeah, no, I understand. And obviously, any time you can quote that you've sort of played international level at any age group, I mean, that's obviously a very nice thing to be able to say.
Yeah, especially for the experience. I think the best thing that football provides to everyone is the experience to be able to compete. Obviously, if you play internationally with different countries, the type of football is really, really nice.
Absolutely, 100%. You've done your time in Canada. You said that you and your family moved to Barcelona. Again, was that a family move or was that something that was created by football?
It was kind of a mix. I think all the decisions were made family because I was really young. It wasn't my own decision to stay or to move to a different place. It was more family decision. But before going to Canada, we decided to go back to Argentina. We stayed there for like close to a year to be again with our family that we had there. I still play there football when I was there, and I got calls from different big teams in Argentina. But since I was about to leave, I didn't get close to closing anything, to be honest. Yeah, at that time, I was 15, if I'm not mistaken, so I could play close to professional football. Because in Argentina, you can really start playing really, really young if you are talented.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Barcelona, more of a family decision. And it was also perhaps we're kind of tired of the climate, to be honest, of Canada, which is really cold, and the winter is terrible, and summer is so hot. So it's kind of a strange to us because we're more used to regular climate during the year in Argentina. And then we moved also here to Barcelona because we had family here as well. And then we decided to come here. They told us that the lifestyle was really nice, the weather was really nice, and it was more of a change of lifestyle again.
Yeah.
And obviously when I came here, just continue playing football, obviously.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you for that one. That's absolutely fabulous. So you said that you stopped playing football. Was that because of an injury or was it just a choice of your own?
To be fair, I had lots of injuries. In fact, I don't know how many times I've twisted my ankles and broke my the wrist, but I could still play.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing to leg related. I think it was mostly because my head wasn't in the right place.
Okay.
You know, this all the time that happens with many footballers, that they have so many talent, so much talent, but their head is not where they should be thinking of.
Yeah.
Training, resting, and be focused on one goal. Yeah. I wasn't ready at that age, to be fair. And that's why I didn't continue playing, because I really got calls from Barcelona, Espanyol, really big teams here in Spain who were interested in me. But I didn't have the head where I should have it at that age, once you are focusing on being professional. So I started working, I started knowing lots of other things that I got interested in, and that's why I stopped playing semi-pro, I will say. Just obviously continue playing more regularly, more of a training, because I just love the game.
Yes, yeah.
But it wasn't focusing on being professional anymore.
So, yeah, it just goes to show you how important mindset is, doesn't it, really? At any level, really, but particularly the higher level that you get to.
Yeah, in any sports.
Yeah.
It's way more important to have the mindset and you're being focused than having talent. Like, if you're focused and you work hard, then you will get higher than any other guy who has more talent than you.
Yeah, thank you, Juan. Absolutely fabulous. So we've done your football career. We're going to now move on to what you're doing now and how you got into that. You did allude earlier to the fact that you were already had your contacts with agencies and you were managing your network really well. Did you go straight from not playing into this?
Yeah. Obviously, when I started internationally, I already got that interest from agencies and so on. And I started making my own connections. Not only especially because my dad was an ex-professional player, but also from my, but I wanted to get my own name, my own last name, and having my own personal connections. So I was also interested in that. That's why perhaps my head wasn't only focusing on being a professional footballer, because I got interested in other business sides as well. And I started making connections with people from USA, Canada, everywhere I played, obviously.
Yeah.
And collaborating with agencies, because since I stopped playing or focusing on being professional, I was still being involved in football, and I had many connections in football, like old friends who were still active and they weren't close to being professional. So I got the connection from those players into new agencies and so on, and I started building my own network related to all the agencies.
It sounds great. So you obviously went into becoming an agent yourself.
Yeah.
Where did you focus on first? Was it straight into the women's game or did you start off with men?
No, I started really young with men's in football. I've been men's football years involved already.
Yeah.
But obviously collaborating with other companies, big companies, but wasn't always, never was my name on any paper because I was on the backside of the office working and perhaps building the connection with the athlete or the connection with the clubs I had and so on. But it was all working for someone else, you know what I mean? It was like on the backside of everything that was involved. But it was nice because I got the experience of the male side, which are things that are doing, which are good, but most are bad, to be fair. There are some things I've read done in male football that I don't like.
Right.
That's why years after, when I was more tired of being involved in those sort of things, in fact, I don't even like the name of agent. I would just call myself a businessman or call it, because I don't like even to represent someone. I just help athletes and provide them support. And I will say that providing support will be the best to describe someone who wants to help athletes who achieve their best. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Agents are more like the representation of, and I don't represent no one, just advise athletes to achieve their best.
Yeah, I agree. There is a what we call over here a stigma about the word agent.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not good. Not all of it's good, is it? That's a problem.
Exactly. I don't like to be called an agent, to be honest.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, and I totally agree. I mean, what you want to do is just enable anybody that you work with or in a way represent or advise, as you said, to achieve their best off the pitch so they can focus at getting their best on the pitch.
Exactly.
Brilliant. No, absolutely agree. So you've mentioned that you didn't really like some of the things that happened in the men's game. I mean, the men's game's massive, isn't it, really? When you come down to it, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on that we don't agree with because of just the enormity of it. But it's a good time to get into the women's game, isn't it? It's growing.
I think it was a fantastic time because I think it's growing. I think, obviously, from my point of view, I see it differently. I see it more of the business.
Yeah.
And I see the potential of women athletes, not only football, but women athletes in general in any sports, being the main public image of brands and so on. For example, I see the beneficial of being involved in those sort of areas. In fact, I'm trying to be involved in many sports because I have connections in most of the sports.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get more of that business side of just being connected, having the connection with athletes or the best athletes in different sports and connecting them in different brands, helping them to grow their image, help them to make a clear path to becoming more professional and be the greatest. So it's like, it's easier for me because I saw years before the growth of not only women's football, but I would say women's sports in general.
You're right. Just from knowing you, Juan, I can safely say that the discussions that I've had with you and with a couple of athletes that I know, you don't just provide what you would call a football agent, what they do. That's why you're right. Agent isn't the right word. You actually look at what they've got now, how you can improve that, don't you? Whether it be social image, whether it be a moral cause that they support, and also plan for their future. So you really do look after the athletes that you deal with.
Our company focused on women's. It's called FuPlan.
Yeah.
Because it's future planning. It comes from future planning. It comes from because I see, for example, that women athletes are growing and so on, but they're still growing on their salary, but they still think, they need to think of the future.
Yes.
And if you don't have a team helping you in all those sort of aspects that you don't have to think of because you have to be only focusing on showcasing your talent on a weekly basis, you need to have a team working for all those aspects. There are many things to take into account that need to be worked on, and you have to improve in order to have more income, in order to have plans for short-term and long-term, in order to be more relaxed once you're close to your career or you're done your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know in my lifetime that women's salary will never be the same as men when it comes to football. And I think you've alluded to this already with the brands. Are you finding that brands are more and more wanting women to represent them or their products rather than men?
Yeah, I think brands, if of my vision of business, they should be investing more. They are investing more in women's image. I think we'll get to a point where the best brands worldwide, there will be a woman figure who is the main image of the corporation.
Yeah.
That is great. But also, it will be like that if there are companies who work like we think of, for example, because it's not only being Serena Williams, you're one of the best athletes.
Yeah.
You don't have to just only be the best athlete in any sports to be the image of a corporation. I think you have to have values behind that image, social values, in order to have more attraction from brands, because any corporation has their own brand, but they have values that is attached to their corporation.
Yeah.
So you have to be linked to the same sort of values in order to grow your image. You have to have value, not only be an athlete.
Yeah.
You have to have way more than that. So it's like, if you work on that and you help the athletes achieve those things, obviously all of the sports, not only football, but all the sports in women's will be receiving that growth and sort of support of the companies, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And obviously providing more options for the athletes, because they're still growing the salaries, and I think it will continue growing.
Yeah.
I'm managing salaries that are now in women's football, but they're in men's football as well. So it's fantastic to hear that. And I think it will continue growing. I don't think it will be equally right now or in the short term, but as long as the companies get involved and there are more fans involved in the women's football and they generate the same income that the males do, then they will be receiving the money. It's a matter of generating and trying to help to generate the same income yes. that the males football receives in women's in order to yeah. make that happen.
That's a great point. It's not all about salary. It's about working hard and creating opportunities that they can still earn extra money from. So that's fabulous. So I know Football Line's been open a couple of years and you've driven it forward tremendously. You look after a few players, two Spanish players. I know you've got another player in the WSL, but you've got two Spanish players who represent the two of the bigger clubs in the WSL over here. What's your plan, though? What's your vision and future for Footplan Sports?
I think our vision is to move forward helping female athletes. It doesn't matter the sport, because we have connections in all the sports.
Yeah.
Especially in football, because I've been, to be honest, way more years in football. So I have more connections and make it more easier for the players. But I will be focusing on women's athletes to grow, because it's not only helping the athletes, because it's what I'm doing for the athletes also helps the game.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything that I do for the athletes that we are representing right now is not only helping the player, also helping the women's football, in fact, to become better. Because our goal is to have athletes and make them celebrities. And yeah. the stars who are already big names, for example, that we still work with, that we don't need to have just a new player and help them be professional, for example. But stars that we can also collaborate that are already well-known, make yeah. them reach the highest point. Not just stay there because you're already well-known yeah. and so on. The quote that we always say is like, we make athletes to become celebrities
yeah.
and get stars to reach the highest points, because that's our goal, to make them reach the highest possible way and achieve their goals in all the sort of ways, not only sports speaking, but also in relations of the incomes that they receive and the social value and the impact that they have in the society, all those things which are really important.
I mean, amazing. Just basically from what you described, you're not only helping the athletes you're working with, you're almost creating a better pathway for up-and-coming athletes that work with you or whether they don't work with you. So,
exactly. It's helping the game, because as long as we help the game, it's going to grow. It's
yeah.
for everyone. We don't have to think of our athletes and forget about the game, because if we help the game, then we help our athletes as well.
Absolutely. And what a great point to end today's interview on. JP, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'd love you to come back on again soon just to tell us about how things are going, new ideas, how you feel the women's game's growing. It's very important to me, that. So I just want to say, JP Benedetti, all the way from Barcelona in Spain, Footplan Sports, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for your time. I appreciate you having me on your show, and we'll speak soon then.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off this show with our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, darts, rugby, motorsport, NBA, NFL and football. We start with golf. The PGA Tour hosted the Phoenix Open from the TBC Scottsdale Stadium course in Arizona. It was won by world number 2 and former world number 1 Scottie Scheffler on minus 19. He defeated the fast charging Nick Taylor on minus 17 with 3 shots further back to Spanish number 1 and world number 3 John Rahm. This week they go to the Pacific Palisades in Los Angeles using the Riviera Golf Course for the Genesis Open. The DPWT Tour hosted the Singapore Classic from the Laguna National Golf Course. It was won with a brilliant minus 9 in the final round by Oki Stridham. He finished on minus 19. Second place Sami Vallimäki on minus 18 with a 3-way tie for third. Junghoon Wang, Alejandro Del Rey and Marcel Schneider on minus 15. They moved to Thailand this week for the Thailand Classic from the Amata Spring Country Club. On to horse racing. The big meeting last week was at Newbury with a good supporting cast at Warwick. Zanza, the outside of the field, took the Denman Chase for Philip Hobson, Tom O'Brien, beating favourite Hitman of Paul Nichols. Paul Nichols also suffered a reversal in the game Spirit Chase, and it was won by Fenembele Savola for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch, with Grenatine, the odds-on favourite, going down. The Betfair hurdle was won by Anankin Risque, a brilliant ride being by Nick Schofield for Chris Gordon, who led all the way with our long shot fancy and backed into favourite Filey Bay, coming out second. The Kingmaker Chase at Warwick saw the Cheltenham Prep for Jambon, owned by JP McManus, ridden by Aidan Coleman and trained by Nicky Henderson. Some people crabbed it, but I thought he'd done well. It wasn't impressive, but he'd done what he needed and goes to Cheltenham as a worthy favourite. On to darts, and it was the Premier League. Week 2 was at Cardiff, and for once in his life, poor old Gerwyn Price wasn't booed by the crowd. He was cheered and adulated, and it showed. He played with a smile on his face, and he won the week, beating Nathan Aspinall 6-3 in the final. He gets 5 points. Nathan Aspinall takes a tidy 3 points. Semi-final losers Michael van Gerwen and Michael Smith, both with 2 points. The Premier League darts table sees a 4-way tie for the front. Chris Dobie, Gerwyn Price, Michael van Gerwen and Nathan Aspinall, all with 5 points. However, Johnny Clayton and Peter Wright, two of the best players in the world, are stuck at the bottom on 0. Week 3 is in Glasgow. Rugby, and it's the Six Nations, and week 2 results. Ireland 32, France 19, Scotland 35, Wales 7, England 31, Italy 14. The table is led jointly by Ireland and Scotland, both on 10 points, and England are third on 6. On to motorsport, and we have a couple of facets to report on for you. NASCAR, race 2 this coming weekend, the Blue-Green Vacations Dual 1 at Daytona at the famous iconic Speedway, and Formula E, round 4 broke through into India last week with the Hyderabad E-Prix from the streets of that famous city. It was won by Jean-Eric Verne for Team Penske, second place Nick Cassidy for Envision Racing, third place Antonio Felix da Costa for Tag Heuer Porsche. The table shows Pascal Wehrlein for Tag Heuer Porsche in front on 80 points. Second place Jake Dennis for Andretti Avalanche on 62. With tied third, Jean-Eric Verne, Team Penske and Sebastian Buemi, Envision Racing on 31. Round 5 is next on the 25th of February from Cape Town in South Africa with their E-Prix. NBA and some pivotal results for you from last week. Trailblazers 108, Bucks 127. Golden State Warriors 141, Oklahoma City Thunder 114, the Magic 98, the Knicks 102, Pelicans 116, Hawks 107, Nets 112, Suns 116, Grizzlies 104, Bulls 89, Nuggets 146, Timberwolves 112, Lakers 130, Oklahoma City Thunder 133. Even though the Lakers lost, this was the match that LeBron James, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, passed Hakeem Olajuwon's scoring record to become the highest point scorer in the NBA. So go along with being fourth on the number of assists, ninth in the number of steals. What a player, the best of all time. And at 38, he's still rocking the league. Cavaliers 113, Pistons 85, Celtics 106, 76ers 99, Rockets 128, Kings 130, Jazz 118, Timberwolves 143. Trailblazers 125, Warriors 122, Clippers 104, Mavericks 110, Lakers 104, Bucks 115, Celtics 127, Hornets 116, Grizzlies 128, Timberwolves 107, Kings 114, Mavericks 122, Pelicans 107, Cavaliers 118, Clippers 106, Bucks 119, Nets 98, 76ers 107, Knicks 126, Jazz 120, Warriors 103, Lakers 109, Kings 133, Mavericks 128, and Celtics 119, Grizzlies 109. The top 10 for the playoffs and play-ins are as follows. The East. The Celtics lead East and the first team out of both conferences to hit the 40-win mark. They are 41-16. The Bucks are second on 39-17. Then the 76ers on 36-19. Cavaliers 37-22. Nets 33-23. Heat 32-25. Knicks 31-27. Hawks 29-28. Wizards 26-29. And the Raptors 27-31 round out the top 10. In the West, the Nuggets lead the way by an ever-increasing margin on 39-18. The Grizzlies are 34-22, Kings 32-24, Mavericks and Suns are 31-27, and the Clippers are 31-28. The Pelicans 29-28. The Timberwolves are in 8th on 30-29. Golden State Warriors are 28-28, and the top 10 is rounded out by the Thunder on 27-28. A shortened week this week for fixtures. The Knicks play the Nets. The Thunder play the Pelicans, Mavericks play the Timberwolves, Warriors play the Wizards, Trailblazers play the Lakers, Bucks play the Celtics. In a top-of-the-table clash in the East, Suns play the Kings, Clippers play the Warriors, 76ers play the Cavs, Hawks play the Knicks, Celtics play the Pistons, Grizzlies play the Jazz, Nuggets play the Mavericks, Lakers, the Pelicans, Bulls face the Bucks, and Suns play the Clippers. The reason for the shortened week is it's All-Star Weekend. This week in the NBA, Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. They've had the draft for their subs, their bench players, but this is a starting five. For Team LeBron, it's himself, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic and Zane Williamson. What a power five they are. However, the East are hitting back with Team Giannis himself, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. I will put a quick hold on that lineup with both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving being traded to the Suns and the Mavericks, respectively. Two massive trades. Where does that leave the Nets? It's quite ironic that two of the best players for the East Conference team now play in the West. NFL, and what can I say about Super Bowl 57? Two of the best quarterbacks to be playing at the moment, along with Joe Burrow from the Bengals. We are absolutely awash with talent in the quarterback position. However, despite this amazing talent, we still have the one man, the wizard, I think going to be the greatest of all time, Patrick Mahomes. What a player. Got a high-level sprain on his ankle 2 weeks ago in a divisional championship, but he's come back. He got taken out in the first round. It was a legitimate tackle, but his ankle bent, and all the second half he was in pain, but he drove through. Kansas City Chiefs were losing to the Philadelphia Eagles at halftime, and every drive in the second half, Patrick Mahomes got a score for his team, and the Kansas City Chiefs ran out winners with a field goal with 11 seconds on the clock. And they won 38 to Philadelphia 35. Commiserations to Jalen Hurts, who had a brilliant performance as a runner-up quarterback. Both came to the party. Both performed. What an event. And even Rihanna was brilliant at halftime. But brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Patrick Mahomes now gets his second Super Bowl. Puts him into that next elite bracket. I'm sure he'll go on and win more. What a great team. And Andy Reid, Coach of the Year, without a doubt. We finished this week with football. Premier League, we had a catch-up match in the week. Manchester United 2, Leeds 2. Match day 23 results. West Ham 1, Chelsea 1. Fulham 2, Nottingham Forest 0. Leicester 4, Tottenham 1. Arsenal 1, Brentford 1. Crystal Palace 1, Brighton 1. Southampton 1, Wolves 2. Bournemouth 1, Newcastle 1. Leeds 0, Manchester United 2, Manchester City 3, Aston Villa 1. Liverpool versus Everton, the Merseyside derby. We'll bring you that result next week. The top four in the table are as follows. Arsenal played 21, 51 points. Manchester City played 22, 48 points. Manchester United, 23 games, 46 points. And Newcastle, 22 games, 41 points. There's a catch-up fixture in the week. Arsenal versus Manchester City. And although Arsenal will have a game in hand, if Manchester City can beat Arsenal at the Emirates, Manchester City will go back on top of the league in goal difference. And it'll be the first time that Arsenal haven't been top for a long time. Will they handle the pressure? Match day 24 fixtures. Aston Villa versus Arsenal. Brentford versus Crystal Palace. Wolverhampton versus Bournemouth. Brighton versus Fulham. Everton versus Leeds. Chelsea versus Southampton. Nottingham Forest versus Manchester City. Newcastle versus Liverpool. Manchester United versus Leicester. And Tottenham versus West Ham. The Champions League and the Europa League are back. Part one of the Champions League sees PSG versus Bayern, which is probably the match of the round of 16. Then we've got Milan versus Tottenham, Dortmund versus Chelsea, Liverpool versus Real Madrid, and RB Leipzig versus Manchester City. The Europa League is back, and the tie of the round is undoubtedly Barcelona versus Manchester United. WSL, a catch-up match from the first week of the season when sadly the Queen passed, Manchester City 2, Arsenal 1. The three remaining fixtures from last weekend, Tottenham 1, Manchester United 2, Brighton 2, Aston Villa 6, and Liverpool 0, Leicester 1. So the top three in the WSL are as follows. Manchester United lead the way, played 13, 32 points. Second place Chelsea played 12, 31 points. Third place Manchester City now, played 13, 29 points. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, that is the end of another brilliant, brilliant show. This time, slightly different. It's our Spanish special. We started off with Manchester City, now Roma, and Spanish international footballer Vicky Losada, going all about how she got into football, how she moved, and how Barcelona is home to her. Part one of a brilliant interview from Vicky. And then we had her agent, JP Benedetti, all the way from Spain, who owns Footplan Sports. He represents Vicky on a batcher from Manchester United and other players, and is really moving forward the way women footballers are managed. We also hope you liked our SLB Sports Roundup with the culmination of the NFL season. I'd like to thank those guys who we interviewed, yourself, the listeners, and also Johan, Rafaela, and the team at UK Health Radio, who give us this amazing platform. We'll see you all next week.